Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Book of Luke, chapter 6, from verse 46. And Jesus was speaking. He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" In 47, he says, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when a flood rose, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because he had been well built." That is, he had been built upon the rock. "But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house upon the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great." Now, last time I began to talk about the issue of the foundation for our lives, and that's a continuation, actually, of what we have been talking about, the power of godliness. I know then, remember, when I was talking about the power of godliness, I said that godliness has a promise, that when we do what that which is right, God has attached a promise to it, that it's not just about conforming to the religious norms of our own society or to the norms of our own church, but that godliness is about doing that which is right, and that's the way by which we establish a foundation for that which is good. That is, he said that godliness has a promise for the life that now is and that which is to come. And when Paul was writing to Titus, in Titus chapter 3, he explained that people who have been redeemed, the people who are called righteous by the Lord, must be careful to do that which is good, that is the good work, so that they will have the opportunity to reap a harvest. Because he said this is good, all right, and profitable for men. So we have been saying that when you do that which is good, it is not somebody else you're actually benefiting. You are benefiting yourself eventually. That which you sow into somebody else's life is what you will actually reap, all right, in your own life. If you sow falsehood, if you do that which is false, if you cheat people, if you are doing corruptly, if you are cheating, if you are lying and defrauding, it's not the other people that are losing anything. It is you that's actually losing. You are biting away from your future, and you are putting your life in jeopardy. I like the way one of my pastors said it. He said that when you do things, he was trying to explain, you will know what you have gained, but you don't know what you have lost. That is, every act that we perform in life, God, the Bible says, brings those things to judgment. If you go and read the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, if you read in verse 9, he said to young men, he said, during the days of your young manhood and your childhood, do what your heart, he said, let your heart be pleasant in those days and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your heart. He said, but know one thing for sure, that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. That is, everything you do, all right, is what God will use to determine whether he will lift you up later or will bring you down. Let me explain the meaning of the word judgment again. Judgment is not just the fact that we set you on trial and then we condemn you, all right, or when we find you guilty. Judgment also means that what your life will be is being determined by what you are going through now, or how you are living life, how you are sowing seeds into the lives of other people and into your society. It's what God is using to determine what your life will be like. If you read from the book of Psalms, chapter 75, he said that God is judge. He lifts up one and he brings down another. So to judge means to lift one person up or to bring the other person down. And what Solomon is telling us here in this portion of the book of Ecclesiastes is that what you do as a young man, and I've taught this over the times, and what you do as a young woman is what God uses as a foundation for determining what your future is. And that's what we've been talking about, this power of godliness. Therefore, godliness is not for the other person, but actually it is you that godliness ultimately benefits. And that's why Paul said that godliness is actually the means of great gain if it is accompanied by contentment. That is, when I'm doing that which is right, I'm not doing it because of what it gives me immediately. I'm doing it because it is right, and I accept my current lot, what God has given to me as for today. I accept it as my portion for today, knowing that when God judges me as having done which is that which is right, in the due season, he will bring me up into the place that he wants me to be. Life is not an accident, I always say. Life is controlled by spiritual forces. God indeed is judge, and what tomorrow will be like is determined by the judgment, the words that God releases in your particular case. Remember what I've said before, that what we experience in life is those words of judgment from God. That is, our lives are on trial every time. Our marriages are on trial. Our businesses are on trial. Our careers are on trial. Whether we'll be healthy, our health, these things are on trial. And that what's happening is that God is judging. Now, please get what I'm trying to explain. and what will put you up or bring you down are the things that are used against you in accusation, and that the power of Satan. That's one thing people don't understand. You cannot just get up and rebuke Satan. You cannot get up and just rebuke him like that just because you feel like rebuking him. It doesn't work like that. Satan is an accuser. Do you get my point? You cannot go to court and shut the mouth of the prosecuting lawyer. You can't do that. What you can do is to bring superior evidence, and that is what will shut the mouth of the prosecutor. As a defense attorney, you will bring your own arguments according to the law, and that is what you use to shut the mouth of your adversary. You don't just get up and say, "Now, you adversary, keep quiet." And that's what we like to do. We like to get up and just rebuke Satan. No, that's not how you rebuke Satan. Satan is an adversary. What the Bible says is that you submit to God and then you resist the devil. That is submission to God that's actually resistance to the devil. So when people are submitting to God, what they are doing is that they are resisting the devil. So that when you are walking in godliness, which is what submission to God is, then you are automatically resisting the devil. For example, if you're a businessman, listen to this. It's good to anoint your premises for blessing. But you see, the greater anointing, what brings forth the release of blessing actually into your life, is that words are being spoken in your favor before the throne of God. Now, let me say this. The first and most important word that is being spoken in your favor is that the one that Jesus speaks by his blood. That I have redeemed this fellow, I have forgiven, I have washed away his sins. The sins of his ancestors have been removed. The curse that was placed upon him because of his race has been removed. That the sins of his childhood, of his past, they have been removed. I shed my blood to remove those things. And that's the power of faith in Christ Jesus. It is that you don't have to do by yourself, pay all the payments for all your previous sins. You don't have enough power inside yourself to make restitution for all the sins you committed in the past. But that if you confess Jesus as Lord and you believe that God raised him from the dead, then you are saved. That is, you are delivered from the power of your sin. But then afterwards, now listen to this. When Jesus has secured all those forgiveness and a cleansing and a redemption of your past for you, then he now says you must continually do good works, that this is good. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? You continually walk in a manner that is pleasing to God. You don't do your good work just because you want to get something. You do it continually because it is right. Because that is what the Spirit of Christ Jesus inside you is now dictating. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain here? So we make it a continual habit. So I've been explaining that. I just felt like reviewing it briefly. What I'm doing now is to continue what I began last time, and that's the issue of this foundation, all right? And please get this point. It is our responsibility to lay a foundation for what our tomorrow will be. Now, please, you must understand how spiritual things work. I said something the other time. I like to say it again because people misunderstand spiritual things. People say that, okay, if you want a car, you sow a seed towards your car. And I say, no, it's not like that. That's not how spiritual things work. When I say that you are responsible for laying a foundation for your tomorrow, I don't mean that you say, okay, because I want to a big house and then I go and give out a month's rent out as an offering. No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is that you will follow a particular path. The Bible implies, when we read many scriptures, that there are different paths in life and each one has a destination. That's why you say there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Are you getting my point? That's why I tell you in the book of Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16, it said, look out for the good paths, stand by the way and seek that good path that if elders walked in, and walk in them, and then you will find rest for your souls. That is the way by which we walk in life that determines what our future will be. Please, this is what I'm saying is very important. The Bible says that Jotham became mighty, or he became great, because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God. That's in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 27. That's verse 6 that I just read. That is, he became mighty, he became established, he became great, and the way by which he did was to order his ways before the Lord his God. That's what I mean when I say it's your responsibility. And I said something talking about the power of godliness then, that it's your responsibility that you will decide to order your way aright. You will decide to say, look, I am going to forsake what other people were doing. I may have been trained in business on how to defraud people. I may have been trained in business, in civil service, on how to cheat and be corrupt. But I will wake up one day and make up my mind that I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to follow the way of righteousness. And then I will trust that God will bless me. Paul said it's a sign of our faith. Listen, what you are doing each day is a sign of your faith. If you continue walking in ungodliness, then you don't really trust that it is God that is going to bless you. The sign that you trust that God is the one that will bless you is that you are forsaking ungodliness and you are walking in righteousness. So that even though temporarily on the surface it appears like you're not gaining, but your eyes are looking towards God, like David said, and from his hand will come your reward of the inheritance. Please get what I'm going to explain here. So you make up your mind, it's a personal decision that I am going to order my steps before the Lord my God. You know, I've just been saying all of this since just to tie everything I've been saying over time together. Now let me continue that issue I began to develop then. I know I read just now from the book of Luke chapter 6, and I read this one because I read it last time and I read it again today because of a particular word that he used there, talking about foundation. There was something I said last time, please let me just say that again. Because last time when we first read these references and also the one from the book of Matthew, we saw one issue there that it was when Jesus was talking about this foundation, he was making one fact obvious that adversity will come, that trials will come in life. And please let me say it again. Trials will come in life, you can't help it. Difficult times will come in life, you can't help it. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? There will be times that you will have challenges, and possibly you are listening to me tonight, you are going through certain challenges. It is nothing unusual. Do you follow my point? A young man came to me once, he said, "Pastor, please pray with me. I think there is a curse upon my life." And I said, "What is the problem?" He said, "A lot of things I have done, they have not succeeded." And I looked at him, I said, "How old are you?" He told me he's a young man. I think either he's in school or he just left school. All right? And I said, "So why do you think that you are cursed?" He says, "Because of this experience I've had." I looked at him, I said, "My friend, look, you better go and find better things to do. This is not, you are not cursed in any way. Listen, I will pray with you, but it's not because I think you are cursed. I will pray that God will give you understanding. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. I will pray with you that God will give you insight and give you direction. But please, you don't have a curse working upon you. So you are failed in one thing or you are failed in the other. So what?" The Bible says the righteous man fails 7 times. I'm paraphrasing that scripture now. All right? And the Lord still lifts him up. David said, "My enemy don't rejoice over me, because even though I'm down, I shall rise again." I always say that a man does not say that kind of thing except that he was down while he was saying it. He's down and his enemy was rejoicing. So his enemy don't rejoice over me. Even though I'm down now, I will rise again. Please get what I'm trying to explain. I told the young man, "Listen, you are not cursed. Even though you are going through adversity right now, do you listening to me tonight? You are not cursed. Doesn't mean you are cursed." Let me say this again. The power that Satan has, okay, is a power to tempt and the power to accuse. If you will walk with God, you are not under a curse. Even though you were under a curse, listen, once you lift up your head to the Lord and you say, "Lord, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wash me by the power of that shed blood of Jesus. I believe that he died for my sake and he was raised again for my sake." Once you say that from the bottom of your heart and you commit to following him, every curse upon your life is broken. That is a matter of fact. That is what Christianity is. It is not about church attendance. It is not about the title you bear, deacon, apostle, prophet, pastor. That's not what it is. It's not that you're a church worker. It is that your problems have been washed away. And I'm telling you that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you indeed have been forgiven and there is no curse that can hold you. When Satan will rise up, you know, I've explained this. When Satan wants to afflict people, what he does is to accuse them. He will say concerning Job that Job is just doing all these righteous works because of what he's going to get. And Job was given to us as an example that even though you go through affliction as a righteous man, you must never lose your faith in God. Do you get my point? Because if you stand by your faith in God, for everything you lose, God will give you double back. That's a matter of fact. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? So I told the young man, "Please go ahead, face your life." I prayed with him. I said, "You don't have a problem. That is, you went through adversity. Is not a sign that you're a cursed person." So what am I saying? That yes, temptations will come, trials will come in life, and afflictions will come. The times of testing, but we can prepare ourselves for that time of testing so that you not sweep us away like the flood that the Lord Jesus was describing here. That floods in life, they are the signs, you don't get my point, they are the type of what? Affliction. And it is possible for us to be so solid and so planted that these afflictions are unable to sweep us away. I began the last time explaining it. So how do we do that? Jesus said, this is how you do it. You build a foundation upon my words. The things that I say, you make them the foundation for your life. And he said, and which was the reason why I rather emphasize on this Luke chapter 6, that here he explains something, that the man who builds upon the words of Jesus is like a man who dug deep. All right? The man trying to build a house, he dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. The rock being the words of Jesus, and the laying of the foundation being believing those words and acting upon them. What does it mean to dig deep? Things that are precious are usually hidden. The truth of God is not on the surface. It is not what is common in your society. If you go to an average business school, that is not what they will teach you as the way by which you do business. I remember that one of the problems that people like Charles Finney had those days was how to reorient the minds of business people. That business is about giving. It is not about getting. The reason why you are in business is so that you can give something. Listen to this. You cannot step out into business except you have something you want to go and add to the lives of people as value. That's why you see those who have really succeeded in life, you will see that they first looked and they saw something. I was reading the story the other day about Google. You go on the internet and you Google up something. That's become an English word now, to Google up something. All right, the number one search engine in the world. Why did they start that company? It was because they used search engines, AltaVista, all the Yahoo, different kinds of search engines that were there before them. And they discovered that, I mean, you have gone to search before, and you have this, I'm sure you have seen this. You find out that you type a few keywords, and it return for you maybe 1 million pages on the internet containing that information that you are looking for. How do you select the one that you want? And they had this problem, so they decided to develop what they call the page rank system, so that some the most important pages come up first. And when they saw, they said, no, this will really be a blessing to people. And the people that they tried to sell it to so that they could use it, those guys didn't understand, and they refused to pay just a simple $1 million for it. But just as young men, the two founders of that company became billionaires. Why? Because they were trying to output something into the lives of people. Please get what I'm trying to explain. Real businesses that grow and do well, they usually have something they want to add as value to the lives of people. A lot of us want to get up and go and grab for people. We are looking for the opportunity to hold people hostage. We want to take from them as much as possible. Therefore, we go out, we sell that which is fake and say it is genuine. And we think that that's what we are doing, is that we are doing business. We have become Nigerian mafia people. You know, the mafia man says it is business once he brings in money. If he has to shoot you to get the money, it is business. If he has to blackmail you, it is business. What does he call business? It brings in money. And that is very, very ungodly. That is building a business upon sand, not upon the rock. How do you build upon the rock? That's what I'm trying to explain. That is not that which is common. It's not what everybody in the market is practicing. You have to settle down and ask, dear Lord, what is that which is the truth? It might not be popular. That's why we use the word digging deep. You have to scrape all the negative things on the surface. All the common practices that are on the surface. What people tell you are the normal things to do. You have to scrape away all those things and then settle upon the word of God, even though it's not popular. There was something I said before, and I've said it several times. Let me say it again. God has a word concerning everything. If you pray and study the scriptures and hear the truth of God being taught, you will see God has a word about everything. He has a word about how to run your business. He has a word about how to do your academics. He has a word about how to run your marriage. He has a word about how to run your ministry. When you discover the word, which is what I taught in previous times, and I call the wisdom for salvation, that which you will do, listen, that which you will do, and God will pour a blessing upon your enterprise. When you discover that word, you stick with that principle. Are you getting my point? You know, I like to use marriage a lot as an example, because it's something I see around, both in foreign countries and even in our society, where people don't really understand what it is. Again, listen to me, young men, young women. If you want to succeed beyond the way that your aunts, your fathers and your mothers and your uncles succeeded, if you want to succeed beyond the level that people in your society succeeded concerning marriage, then please, before you start looking around, looking for a wife, settle down and say, please, what does God say about it? Let me give you a very common wrong thought in our hearts. A young man is growing. You understand my point? A guy has a very good job. He's earning a lot of money. He has bought a very nice car. And then he's either building a house or is living a very decent, a very beautiful part of town. And people start saying that, oh boy, you need a wife. Now, that's very wrong. Listen to me. I'm not saying he doesn't need a wife. But the reasons by which we arrived at the conclusion that he needs a wife is a very, very wrong one. Who's the man that really needs a wife? Listen to me. Let us assume a man comes to tell you, he says, look, I have identified what I want to do in life. This is a realm of business or career I want to go into. I intend to do this. I hope to do this. I don't have money yet, but I believe that God will bless me and things will turn out well. That's the kind of person you look at and say, oh boy, this direction you're following in life, we need a lot of help. I think you should get married before you start. That is when God looked at Adam. He said, it is not good for the man to be alone.
It was because the man had a lot to do in fulfilling the plan of God for his life that God said, it is not good for this man to be alone. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? But as you ask yourself, what exactly does God have as a word? Listen, I told you before, we're talking about laying a foundation. We're not talking about getting quick results. Because the man who is digging, all right? I mean, just imagine it. Two people started building at the same time. One man decided to dig first until he hits bedrock before he starts building. And one man just said, it's okay like that. You know, like how people like to say, it's okay, we'll manage it. I always tell people that. It is not you that is managing. It is a building that is managing. Do you get what I'm going to explain? Stop saying that we'll manage it. This wire is not good for this electrical work. We will manage it. It is not you that is managing. It is the electricity that's passing through that wire that we end up managing. And the electricity does not know how to manage it to set the house on fire. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? So the man will just come and say, you know, like we do, you know, a few days ago, a building collapsed in Haiti, in Port-au-Prince in Haiti, and about 80 people are dead inside it. And you've been hearing that all over in our country. You know, buildings collapsing in Lagos, in Abuja, in Port Harcourt. So much at the point in time in Port Harcourt, they banned the building of new buildings. On their made up their mind what they were going to do. What I'm trying to explain is that's what we like to do a lot of times. You just say, let us manage it. And then we start managing. The cement is not enough. Let us manage it. Put more sand. We start managing. So the man who decides to manage, you can imagine, he starts building on the surface, does not dig deep. He's the one that will appear initially to be making rapid progress. His partner beside him, who decided to dig deep, will look like he's going against progress because the man who's digging is first going down. And listen to this, oh. It is not the time of building that you will know who laid upon the foundation. It is not the time of packing into the house that you will know the man who laid a good foundation. The interesting thing about foundations is that they are not obvious outside. Are you getting my point? They are usually covered up. We don't know what is beneath. The time you will know the difference between the man who laid a foundation and the man who did not lay a foundation is the time that storms will come, is the time that trials will come, is the time that afflictions will come. You know, in recent times, and it's still going on, worldwide financial crisis, economic collapse everywhere, one company after the other collapsing. I discussed it one day, my wife and I were watching international news together, and the CEO, the MD, like we say in Nigeria, of Lehman Brothers, one of the heavy investment banks in the world, all right, that collapsed in America, was being interviewed before the American Congress. And, you know, my wife and I talked about it. I said, now, they were talking about how much money the guy was paid and how this man ran the country into the ground. And I explained something to her. I said, baby, listen, this guy, he may look wicked now that the company has collapsed. Are you getting what I'm explaining? That he may look like a bad person now. I said, but get this point. He was not a bad person when they were turning over profit. I was reading somewhere the other day that Henry Paulson, the current American sector, what we call finance minister in Nigeria, all right, he was the CEO of Goldman Sachs. At a point in time, he was the one that first asked the government to allow them to do something beyond the level that was at that point legal. And the government permitted them. And people like George Soros had warned. And I watched George Soros say this thing about a year ago, that the problem with the American economy is that they had overextended credit. I'm bringing out something. That principle that some people say, let us do it. Others have said that, look, this will lead to problem. But on the short term, listen to this, those companies were making hundreds of millions of dollars in profit. So I was telling my wife, I said, you see this guy? Everybody is shouting against him now that he's a wicked man. He's a bad man. He ran the company down. I said, but do you know if he did not tow this path over the last few years, they probably would have sacked him because other people would be making quick profit and he would not have made that profit. And they would have said he's the reason why our company is not making as much money. The stock price would have dropped because profit would have reduced going to the hands of the shareholders. And they would have had to sack the man because he stayed by that which was right. One of the references I like to make about that is the days of dot-com boom in America. Those of you are very aware of these things. There was a time that internet stocks were just shooting through the roof. Young boys were just coming out and becoming multi-millionaires overnight because they had one small company that something.com, yam.com, beans.com, paperback.com, all kinds of companies. And I remember the current richest man in the world, Warren Buffett. He looked at it. He said, what are these people producing? He said, I don't understand what they are doing. How are they making this amount of money? He said, where is even the money they are making? How can these people just be increasing stock value? And then he refused, listen to this, he refused to invest the money of his company in it. Everybody was getting richer than him. He was not the richest man then. All right, his position on the rich man's scale was dropping because he said, I can't see what these people are doing. There's no substance to this increase that they're experiencing. And then, well, he kept quiet. He has been a man of principle for decades. So that one did not move him, that everybody was not towing his own line. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Then eventually, after a few years, the companies began to collapse one by one. A man that was worth $100 million today, you wake up tomorrow, he's worth only $500,000. And even that $500,000, he can't take advantage of it because nobody's interested. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? It just worth $500,000 on paper. And one after the other, people started collapsing, one collapse after the other. More than 95% of them eventually died and vanished. And it was like Warren Buffett said so. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Look at the recent times again in Nigeria. You know, the stock market, you can double your money overnight. The magic of penny stocks and this and that. Look, I said this is all speculation. It will not get us anywhere. My friends and I, sometimes at the point that we gather, I say, look, this thing will bust one day. We just don't know when it is going to bust. In fact, less than 3 months after we said it, everything ground to a halt. A lot of people lost money. People lost retirement money. People sold businesses to invest in the stock market. They did not understand what was going on. One of my friends who is a specialist in this area, he said, when everybody is buying a stock, ask yourself a simple question. He said, you ask yourself, what happened? Why did it happen? Now, I'm adding my own words, how long is it going to happen? Do I want to participate in the happening? Now, you see, if you don't ask yourself these questions, these are the things about laying foundations. All right? You end up going towards temporary gain and losing something more permanently. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? So you see that people not laying foundation, they go after building on the surface. That's what I'm talking about. They don't dig deep. Do you get my point? You cannot just marry a woman because she's beautiful. Are you following my point? The Bible says that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. He said this is the digging deep. A woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. You can't just marry a man because he has money. Because the Bible says wealth does grow wings and fly away. You look for real substance, and that's what we're talking about, digging deep. We lay real foundations. We ask God in prayer. Listen, there's no substitute for praying as a Christian and laying down your life totally before God every day. When you wake up in the morning, say, Father, I commit my life to you again today. Lead me in the path of righteousness for your own name's sake. And that's what I am teaching. That is the way by which you build a foundation, and that becomes our key to eternal life. That becomes the stability for us for the times of trouble. All the people have given us examples who ask questions, who look. They usually, even though the adversity will come, all right, the storm will blow. Now, get my point. The storm blows against everybody, including those who lay the foundation. It is just that at the end of the storm, the people who lay the foundation, they are still standing. Are you getting what I'm saying? The people who lay the correct foundation are still standing. But those who took actions without any foundation, they're easily blown away. Now, that shouldn't be your case. And that's what I'm trying to teach. I hope you've gotten my point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.